Psalm 147. So you just open to the middle of the Bible and you're pretty much close to Psalms. And it's right beside of Proverbs. Psalms 47. And I'll read the whole Psalm. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is fitting or comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He appointeth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp with our God, unto our God, who covereth the heavens with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of horses. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion, for he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth his winds to blow and the waters flow. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his ordinances unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his ordinances, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Psalm 147, did I miss telling you that?
Yeah, you said
47. 47? Well, let's turn to 147 then. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you for your grace to us. Thank you for your mercies to us. Thank you for the blessings that you give. We offer those praises unto you, for it is in the name of Jesus Christ we pray, in Jesus' name. Well, now you can read it all over again to yourself. But the psalm is a very nice psalm. It is a psalm of praise, and it is a psalm which we recognize, which connects itself very strongly to Jerusalem. A psalm of thanksgiving to the Lord. Now, what do we do when we give thanks to God? We often give songs of praise unto the Lord. The songs that you have sung this morning are songs of thanksgiving. And we are reminded of the Lord and how he has blessed us in those things which he provides. And so songs are important to the praise of God. And so this morning, as we think about our praises to God and our thanks to God, I trust that you often have a song that you like to lift up to the Lord. Three areas we'd like to look at this morning in Psalm 147 is this. Praise for building up his people and his church. Praise for building up his people and his church. That's the first one, and it's in verses 1 through 6. The second is praise for his provision to the humble and the contrite, as we recognize that God is very much interested in those who praise him and who have a humble and a contrite heart before him. That's verses 7 through 11. And then the third one, praise for his work on the behalf of his people in nature and grace. Now we notice that even in this psalm, there's something about nature in it. He mentions the snow and he mentions the frost and he mentions the ice and the various aspects of nature. And he even takes care of the animals. Should we not praise God for all of these things in His creation which He has given to us? And so it is that the psalm covers quite a broad area. As the psalmist lifted up his voice to praise God concerning his provisions for Jerusalem and for his people and for those things which were made bountiful unto them, like the wheat and the harvest and those things that they did enjoy. And so, first of all, Jehovah is extolled for building up Jerusalem and blessing those who worship him. This is that praise for building up his people and his church. You know, we can be thankful that God does draw us together as a people. Even though we are few in number, it doesn't matter that God has only just a few people in his vineyard here. But, you know, there are many people that God has called unto himself. This is only one little small area that God has called you folks together. And consider this, that over the years and time that this church has been here, how many folks do you suppose God has drawn together? Well, there has been hundreds, if not thousands of people that God has drawn together over these many years. What does the plaque say outside? Was it 1806 or something like that? When it was founded, something like that?
The church, and remember, the church isn't the building.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So here it is that God has drawn people together for since 1806 or thereabouts in this particular location where God meant for praises to be offered to him, where his church might be formed, his people might come together to give praise and thanks to him. Now, I think that's pretty impressive. It sounds like we made a good start here, folks. We ought to keep it going for another 200 years and see what the Lord will do. Amen? Yeah. When we look at it like that, it doesn't seem so small, does it? It seems like, well, maybe God planted something here that he plans on using. Yes. As we find that, I guess it wasn't just a little short in the dark, was it? But it amounts to something. When God plants a people in a community, and it remains in that community, and over the years, people have come, people have worshipped, people have praised God, we have looked to the Lord in all these things which we speak about this morning. And we are only one small little church in the greater vineyard of our Lord. Now, I think that's something to praise God for. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. And so we should sing praises unto God. Psalm 33:1 says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely and upright." Of course, the Psalms says a lot about praise. It says a lot about how we ought to give thanks. It says a lot about worshiping God, because the Psalms were the hymn book of the people of Jerusalem. That was the hymn book. And they used to sing these. Those special singers within the Levitical priesthood, which did sing constantly those praises unto God. In Psalm 97:12, "Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." Remembrance meaning memorial. And one of our hymns says that we have raised unto the Lord our Ebenezer, our stones of memorial. Every time we sing the hymns, every time we bring those hymns and to God in praise and in thanksgiving to him, they are a memorial unto him. We don't sing them just to hear ourselves sing. It really doesn't matter that you happen to be an alto or a soprano or a baritone or a bass. It really doesn't matter that you couldn't carry a tune in a bushel basket or in a thimble. All that matters is you're singing praises to God. And God delights to hear His people sing praises to Him. And so it is good for us to do that. Psalm 32:11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Getting excited? I don't know. Baptists don't get excited very much. They're kind of straight-faced and straight-laced. But it's a good idea once in a while to give out a good hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it's good to do that, isn't it? I mean, we might feel a little bit out of place, but every once in a while, get brave and do it anyway. The pastor won't faint behind the pulpit. Oh, he might get going a little bit more. He might even start preaching a little bit more. You know, he might even lift his voice and just give thanks to the Lord because of what you're doing in the pew of praising God. You can't tell. Psalm 64:10. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in Him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. All the upright in heart. Well, I trust that you represent the upright in heart and you are glorying in the Lord this morning. You might say, well, the world is kind of bad off. I don't know if I can glory too much. But remember, it's in the Lord you are glorying. Not in this world.
Amen.
That's it. In this world, we're just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. I can't live in this world anymore. You know, that's our song, is that we're looking to go to be with the Lord. And so the Lord has built up a spiritual house. Now, Jerusalem, of course, was a spiritual house. Jerusalem was the city of God. That is, the city of David. It was the place where Solomon eventually built the very temple where the people of God came together and worshiped. Now, I suppose we can't really appreciate what that all was because we're somewhat far removed from it. But if you could imagine the most greatest and splendid cathedral that you could ever know, and of the singers, and of the worshipers, and of those who put on the ceremony and the ritual for it, to be the grandest of the grandest, well, that was the temple in Solomon's day. And, you know, we perhaps can't quite appreciate that as they could. But, you know, God, nonetheless, has built us up a spiritual house. Just as they were a spiritual house, we find that since the Lord Jesus Christ has come, we find that in Christ, all they that are in Christ, believe in Christ, have faith in Christ, are a part of the spiritual house. That is, just as they were in Jerusalem. We are a part of the spiritual house. So God appeared both in material and in spiritual aspects to build that house. Materially, of course, God used Solomon to build the temple. And it was a glorious temple. But then spiritually, God built a spiritual temple as well. And we can be very thankful for that. What are those things but His grace, His wisdom, His power, the formation and the establishment of His chosen people, the worship that God instituted? And by the way, God still has worship unto Him, even today, and He has ordained that worship in this place, as in all true places where believers gather. He has ordained the worship of God. God has ordained that worship for Him. We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but we are to gather together to worship the Lord. Now, there is a cooperate worship that we are involved in right now. And what is that worship? But it is that extolling and of praises to God. It is the lifting up of praises and songs and hymns. It is the lifting up of prayer unto the Lord, such as we have prayed already. It is that ministry of preaching the very word of God to which we are doing right now. All these things are in worship to God. And God would have us to worship Him. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices holy and acceptable to God by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So there it is. And there's the good amen. Thank you, Eric. He gathered his people together. That God gathered his people together. And we sang that song, we gather together to thank and to give praise unto God. And so he gathered together the outcasts of Israel, and thus he repairs the waste places in Israel. Now this particular psalm is a psalm which speaks to the regathering of the nation and the people of God. After the 70-year captivity, this commemorates or memorializes, in a sense, the gathering together of the people of God again. And what did they do? They rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem and had to rebuild the temple and so forth. And so in that sense, God gathered his people together again unto Jerusalem. And so in any case, the psalmist ascribes to Jehovah all the blessings enjoyed, the restoration of the city, the restoration of the banished, those who were in exile at that time. He equally traces the divine hand of God, how clearly the ancient believers saw the Lord present, working among them and for them. Do you see God present working among you and for you too? You know, we have to see that by faith, don't we? We just can't see it by opening a page in a book. No, it's faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the very word of God. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There is an evidence in faith that you cannot see. If you believe in God, if you truly believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior, then you know God is for you and not against you. And because of that, you can attribute to God many things, knowing that He is with you and has been with you and continues to be with you through every situation in your life. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 3, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God has scattered thee. Now this was a promise that God would gather his people back from all the nations. Well, it's still going on. That's still happening. Jerusalem is still receiving many of the people back to the very nation of Israel, of which had been scattered to the far corners of the earth. God is faithful to his people. God is faithful to us. Someday he will gather us all together unto himself. In Psalm 102, verse 16, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He shall appear in his glory. Now, if that doesn't have some messianic overtones to it, I don't know what does. You see, the Lord is going to appear in his glory one day. And that glory will be unmistakable. The glory of God unto his people.
And every knee shall bow.
Amen. And so it is. As we read on in that psalm, he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come and the people which shall be created to praise the Lord. That's Psalm 102, verse 16, 17, and 18. Well, let's look at this psalm just a little bit more closely here. Psalm 147. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is fitting. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart. He bindeth up their wounds. And so we see how God is so willing to give that healing touch unto his people and for his glory. In verse 3, we find that the healing of the brokenhearted is something that God did not only in that day when Jerusalem was in its glory, but we find that God is still healing the brokenhearted. He is still doing that. In fact, Jesus spoke these very words out of the prophet Isaiah in Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Now Jesus is in the synagogue and he is going to read. And he is reading out of the book of Isaiah, out of the Old Testament. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of them all were fastened upon him in the synagogue. And of course they were quite amazed and astounded at the very things that he said. For it was this very thing. He healeth the broken in heart, and he bindeth up their wounds. And Jesus stood before them as that one who spoke the very word of God and the fulfillment of it. The Lord revives the heart of the contrite ones. In Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him, also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Look again with me at Psalm 147 and verse 4. He appointeth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by their names. Now, this is kind of an interesting text here. It can be taken two different ways. Some have actually believed that the idea here is the stars are the saints, and he numbers them and calls them all by name. But, of course, since God is the God of creation, we know that it has every reason to be creation itself as well. But God is the author of creation. And so he created the stars, the sun and the moon and the stars, all the heavenly bodies. And I suppose they are without number when we stop and think about it. Even all of the telescopes and the magnification to which scientists have today, I dare say that they cannot come close to knowing the full extent of all.
Amen.
The stars. Because God is able to do that. I got my amen corner this morning. Thank you, Eric. Of the stars, probably of the same as the sense of blazing stars, or a star shining orb, but maybe also translated as a prince, as one who is a prince with God. And so, does God know us as individuals? Yeah, God knows us. He knows us all by name. Does God know his creation? He knows his creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. His firmament showeth his handiwork. Psalm 19. So we know God knows them. He telleth the number of the stars, in which the similitude he showeth in the sense of Abraham. Now, what was promised to Abraham? Abraham could not comprehend the multitude of the children that should be born from his seed. But the Lord said that they would be as the stars in the sky, or as the sand upon the seashore in multitude. Now, again, as we stop and think about the years and generations which have passed since the time of Abraham, have there not been many who have been born of faith and have died? Many who have known the Lord God and believed in Him? Many who have been known in the family of God and of the seed of Abraham by faith, even as the Scripture says? And if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, then you also are of the seed of Abraham by faith. Yes. And so it is, He appointeth, God appointeth, verse 4, the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Infinite. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 26, lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things. That bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power, not one faileth. Maybe you have kind of stood out in the evening and looked at the stars and saw the multitude of stars overhead. And perhaps you have marveled at how many stars there are. And that each one of these stars represent a heavenly body which has been created by God. And we can only imagine of their greatness and power that God has placed within each one of these spheres to be held in place by the hand of God. Just as our sun is held in its place, and our moon is held in its place, and the earth is held in its place, and does not break that boundary or ordinance to which it is held. For if it did, we'd be in utter chaos and ruin in an instant. God holds all these in their place, respectively, according to His design and ordination of them. They are within His grasp. And we find that God also is holding us in place. That is, not one of us will be out of place in God's plan for eternity. In fact, we are known as the sheep. In John chapter 10 and verse 4, and when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them. Jesus is talking now, this parable of the shepherd, of the sheep and the shepherd in John chapter 10. And when He putteth forth His sheep, the shepherd putting forth the sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. Are you following the Lord this morning? Well, it's because you know His voice. Is He beckoning you to follow Him, to believe on Him, to trust in Him? Then do so. Believe and trust in Him, for He wants you to follow Him, and He will care for you. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Well, the stranger was the foreigner in Israel. And the foreigner is not of the fold, is not of the sheepfold, and will not follow because they are none of his. And so the great contrast there between the sheep and the stranger. Also again in Psalm 147 verse 5, great is our Lord and of great power, His understanding is infinite. I suppose in this way, we should be very thankful that God's understanding is infinite. You know, sometimes we wonder, really, what's going on, don't we? We don't have all the answers. We live in this world and we seem to be quite on our own, apart from our true faith in God and of our relationship to Christ. And isn't it good for us to know that God is infinite in His wisdom? He hasn't really left us to struggle on our own so much as He has that He might call us to Himself and that we might follow Him. Great is our Lord. In 1 Chronicles 16:25 it says, "For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens." Now there's the difference. The gods of people are idols. You know, many people have idols today. Oh, they probably don't just put them up out back of the house. You know, this is my little stone idol or anything. No, but they got a lot of idols. There's a lot of things that they're in great devotion to. Might be sports. Might be work. It might be finances. It might be health. It might be a lot of different things. They might actually have a little god somewhere stuck in the corner, which they go and pray down to. I don't know. But there's a lot of things that people make as idols. But God, truly the infinite God, made heaven and earth. He is not an idol made with men's hands. No, God stands above creation in the sense He is apart from it. He is not creation. You know, there is a belief today that maybe God is creation itself. Well, that isn't true. No, God is the one who created creation. He stands apart, above and apart from it. In Nahum chapter 1, verse 3, "The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm and in the clouds are at the dust of His feet." The clouds are the dust of His feet. That's an interesting metaphor, isn't it? When you look up at the clouds, well, those are the dust which is scattered up at the feet of God as He kind of walks along. That's kind of an interesting way to look at it, isn't it? But the psalmist, of course, looked at these things in a poetical fashion, and that he might kind of convey the idea to which he is seeking to show the greatness of God, that He is above creation. He's not creation. He's above creation. He's infinite. Infinite. So why shouldn't we trust Him? He knows better than we. And we can trust in Him and know for sure that no matter what happens, we're in His care. Now, there may be some pretty bad things happen, but that doesn't mean that God isn't there, you see. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." Well, you say, well, young men, they have all the strength. But even they will not be able to stand. No, they will grow old. They will corrupt. They will find weakness. Their strength will be abated. Not the Lord. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And there's a little, they kind of made that into a little chorus. And then they say, teach me, Lord, to pray. How important it is that we recognize that God is above all these things that we are so subject to. And He made Jesus a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Meaning in the sense that Jesus descended from above, that He took upon Himself the form of human flesh by God the Holy Spirit, found conception in the womb of Mary, was brought forth as a little child. He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. You see, the angels are created beings of God. And Jesus didn't reveal Himself just as an angel. No. No, he is God, the Son of God. But he came into the world as human, as we are. Yet he was revealed as the true Son of God, because he had no human father. He had a human mother, but not a human father. The scripture says, God the Holy Spirit brought conception upon Mary, and she conceived and brought forth a son, and his name was Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. And that by the announcement of an angel. Upon the wings of eagles, we will find our strength. That is, God will give it. God, who created the eagles, will create strength in us. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in you. And it is Christ who strengthens us. And so his understanding is infinite. In this verse, we have three of God's attributes. His greatness and power are mentioned in verse 5. Great is our God. And his power, and the great power. And then, the third attribute, his understanding is infinite. His wisdom. So we have the greatness of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God. Three attributes mentioned in one verse. And so it is that God continues to do these things on our behalf. And we offer unto him our praise and thanksgiving. Verse 6, the Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. And so the meek shall inherit the earth. Sermon on the Mount. The humble and the contrite, O God, thou wilt not despise. David spoke those words in Psalm 51. And so we recognize that God is more than willing to reverse the evil order of things. Now, what's the evil order of things today? Well, the wicked seem to be having it pretty easy. The wicked seems to get away with everything. I mean, you know, once in a while, you know, the police catch them, you know. Especially the little old ladies going through a stop sign. You can catch them pretty easy. Or the little old men going through a stop sign. You can catch them. But, you know, there's a lot of evil in the world, a lot of wickedness going on in the world, and it seems like they get by with it. They just get by with it. But we find that God is going to reverse the order here. Verse 6, the Lord lifteth up the meek, and he casteth the wicked down to the ground. See, that's the reverse order. That's God's order of things. God is going to lift up those who trust in him. And he's going to cast the wicked down to hell. By the way, a literal place. Nobody wants to go there. Don't make any reservations. No, we'll put our name in heaven, because God is the one who is the author of that too. And so it is that proud men are in their own esteem high enough already. The Lord loves those who are reverent to him, humble in their own eyes, and gentle to their fellow men. These he lifts up to hope, to peace, and to power, and to eternal glory with him. You see, God has us in the reverse order. Not as the world has it. God has us in the reverse order. And so it is, the Lord shall lift up those who are meek, you and I, who are trusting in him, and he will put down the wicked. James says this, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And so God means for us to draw nigh to him. Secondly, Psalm 147, 7 through 11. And I'll have to hurry right along here. I've been a little long-winded already, haven't I? No chuckles. 7 through 11. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. So here is our singing. We have to sing unto him. Who covereth the heavens with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. Now that's a good thing. We could use a little more grass this time of year, Lord. But tomorrow's supposed to be up in the 50s. That's good. You know, and rain. That could bring some grass back, maybe. But the Lord is good to give those kinds of ontological things, those things of nature. God is good to give those things to us. He giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of a horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. Now, what's he mean by that? Well, in one verse he says he gives to the beast the food and the ravens that cry out. Now, but the horse and the man, he says, he doesn't delight in that. Why? Because men trust in their own power. That's why. You know, the horse, what does a man want to do with a horse? Well, in this particular day, he wanted to get on the back of a horse and defeat his enemies. That's what he wanted to do with a horse. And, of course, his legs were very important, you know, because that's what would carry him on the horse. So he could get off on his horse and take a spear and do his worst. Well, God doesn't delight in man doing these things, but man is still doing it. He's still getting on his horse and still trying to slay his enemies. But God does not delight in that. God delights in the humble and the contrite heart, the heart that relies upon him by faith. And so the Lord provides for his own people, taking pleasure in them. So we are to sing praises unto God. Grateful praises. We are to recognize God's care of us. We're to recognize that God wants us to trust in him and not in our own strength. And then verse 11. The Lord taketh pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. Those who fear him. That has the same sense that being humble and contrite before God means that we recognize God's power over our own power, and we come to him in humility, and we seek his benefits, his long-suffering, his grace, his mercies unto us, rather than lifting our own selves up in our arrogant pride. And so we are to seek the Lord. Thirdly, Psalm 147, verses 12 to 20, the Lord is extolled, for he is magnified for his work on behalf of his people and the power of his word in nature and in grace. So in the closing remarks here, he deals with these various aspects of his own power, his word, nature, and his grace toward man. Verse 12, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. Again, well, some people actually believe that this psalm should have been divided again right here at this point. Verse 12, they think maybe that's even another psalm. Well, you know, all of these divisions that we have in the Bible are not inspired. They've kind of been put there to help us understand the various places that we are reading. And so this time could be divided again at verse 12. As you see, verse 12 begins, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. Very similar to it begins in verse 1. Very similar. So it could be. And again, we find that this praise is for God. For he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. Well, talking about Jerusalem, what held the enemy out of Jerusalem? Well, the bars and gate at the gate, as we find that though there's several different, many different gates around Jerusalem, but that gate, the gates to which the entrance was made to the city of Jerusalem at the walls were very important to keep the enemy out. And so God has strengthened those bars at the gate, he says. He strengthened them. Well, God does strengthen his people. And the provisions that God makes for us are very important. What strength has God given you? Well, it's in Christ. It's in His Word. It's by faith. It's trusting in Him. It seems that when we give up of our own strength unto God, then He strengthens us in ways that truly enable us to walk by faith. To walk by faith and to believe. But we have to kind of give up some of our own ways. What are they? Our own personal wisdom. You know, we think we got all the answers. Or we're looking to somebody else who thinks they have all the answers. When we're supposed to be looking to God. Sometimes we have to give up a little bit of our own and let God begin to work in us if we are to see what He truly has for us. Psalm 81:16, He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with the honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. With the honey out of the rock. See, God alone is the one who can bring something out of nothing. Excuse me. Peace is attended with plenty. Plenty is the best food and of the best sort of food. It is a great reason for thanksgiving when men's wants are so supplied that they are filled. Treasury of David. You see, God is more than willing to supply for us, but He wants us to trust in Him. Excuse me. Verse 15, He sendeth forth His commandment upon earth, His word runneth very swiftly. And so God sends forth His commandment, the commandments and the statutes of God. Now they are effective. They are fluent in what they say and what they accomplish. See, the word of God runneth very quickly. It's effective, it's fluent. It is thorough. God is like that. He is infinite in His wisdom. We can trust in His statutes and in His judgments. Psalm 78:5, For He establishes a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. That's why we teach the Bible, right? We want others to know, especially our children. We want them to know the God of heaven and earth, and of those things which are good and right in the sight of God, that that word may be a stronghold for them. Deuteronomy 4:7, For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things, that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great, that hath statutes and judgments so righteous, as all this law which is set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and to thy sons and to thy sons' sons. The commandment in Israel was to pass along the oracles of God, the teachings of God. And if they will be passed along unto your children, the children will be affected by them, in that they will have something to hang on to in those days when they need the instruction of the Lord. Train up your children in the way of the Lord, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so that proverb is one which basically tells us that it is a good thing to teach our children. For if they are taught, then they will remember those things which they have been taught in thanksgiving unto God. Closing in the last three verses, verse 18. He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth the wind to blow upon the waters. And he's talking about creation. The snow, which he mentions in verse 16. In verse 17, the ice morsels. And the water and so forth that he melteth. And so the Lord is the one who is able to control creation. Just as he is the strength of his people, he is the strength of creation. And verse 19 and 20, he showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his ordinances unto Israel. And so the Word of God is that which we are to hold on to. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his ordinances, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. In other words, there was a sense of exclusivity to the nation of Israel in this. The Word of God was given unto Israel. The law was given unto Israel. It wasn't given unto Egypt, to Assyria, and to Canaan, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Hittites, and all of the other ites of the day. No, God gave it unto Israel. Now why? Because he entrusted it in his people that they may propagate that word and preserve it unto a later time when the word of God would be fulfilled and the prophecy should come to pass concerning the promised seed and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that the very covenant that God gave to Abraham and to his descendants and seed should come to pass later on. Wow. There is so much that God had planned in his infinite wisdom. And now we find that it is spread unto all the nations of the world. But like a seed planted in the earth, God planted it first in Israel, that it may find its bountiful harvest in the nations. Let us praise God for all of his many blessings and benefits. Loving Father, thank you for your grace and mercies to us. Thank you for the salvation that is through Christ alone. Thank you, Father, that our salvation is by grace and through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God and not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. Praise God for all his many blessings to us. Thank you, Father, for we pray in Jesus' name, amen.